Hey, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless. Hope you're doing well today. Hope everything's going your way. Today, I want to talk about LTE MIMO deployment. Now, if you find this subject boring, which I get it, whatever. If you want to tune out, that's fine. If you want to go to the blog and read about it at wadeforwireless.com, Wade, the number four, wireless.com, go ahead. Because I have some interesting things in there. And I also have a link to a video by Professor Dr. Wolfgang Utschick about how MIMO works. And I found it interesting. Now, he gives a very long and detailed explanation, which you might snooze through. It's very boring. But it's interesting. The subject is interesting, okay? So he found a way to take something very interesting and make it boring. But I do like the guy. Guy's a brilliant guy. And the reason I want to talk about it, because it is really going to affect the way deployments are made. Now, the end result, MIMO is really going to help the throughput from the antenna, really from the radio head, all the way down to the user device. Here's how it works. The antenna generally will have multiple antennas in it for receive, for transmit, whatever. It depends what bands are on, but it's going to have multiple antennas in it. These multiple antennas are going to obviously connect to multiple receivers and multiple transmitters on the radio head. So you go from the radio head, you have all these inputs and outputs, you go into the antenna. Then when the antenna connects with the user device or multiple user devices, it can handle multiple signals at the same time for these users, but your user device should have 2 to 4 antennas, maybe more. What does that do? That increases the throughput because they found a way to make it more efficient to send that signal, the data, through those multiple receivers and transmitters, you know, in the units, and it reduces interference. They found a way to do that. It improves throughput by spreading the bits out because remember, LTE is all digital, so it's really going to be data communication. So they went to great lengths to come up with formulas to make this really an improved system. It's really amazing. Okay, I'll get into it here in a minute. First, I want to thank Tower Safety. TowerSafety.com. That's right, TowerSafety.com. Their number is 480-313-0678, based in Arizona, and they are an accredited school in the state of Arizona. Again, 480-313-0678 is the number you want to call if you want to train your people to be a telecom tower technician, right? Authorized climber, competent climber. They also have trained the trainer program so you can train people to train your people. OSHA 10, OSHA 30-hour training, RF awareness, and also first aid and CPR training. Not only that, but they also have crane operator training and also drone training. They'll have drone training in December. It's not quite there yet, but they'll have it ready in December because to use drones in business, you have to be authorized, certified, and you should be a certified pilot. And they go over all that. I would highly recommend taking classes if you want to use drones for, say, closeout packages or inspections, which I really see that being a big thing here in the tower industry. And you can see by all the companies popping up and getting into it. There's a lot of drone companies out there. Now they're starting to get into more of the business side. And with all the problems with, what would you say, non-commercial drones out there, now you know that you have to be certified, qualified, and you really want to have your people trained properly. But let's get back to MIMO, LTE MIMO, which I wrote a little bit about MIMO in my book, The Wireless Deployment Handbook, shameless plug here, but I wrote this book so people would be able to get an idea of what is available at the end-to-end deployment and also how LTE is deployed. That's why I did it. It's mostly centered around small cells and C-RAN and DAS. And really, I know it's about DAS, but I just want to go into what it is for the system, say MIMO deployments for the system. So here's the deal. You have one antenna that will have multiple antennas in it. It isn't like they're going to put up 16 antennas up there, but what they are going to put up is one antenna with multiple antennas in it. So the theory is lots of antennas, better signal propagation, better noise rejection, more throughput. That's the name of the game here. What does more throughput give you? It makes the carriers you have more efficient. That's what you want here. You want efficiency. This is a good thing because it's going to have so much more value to add to the existing towers and carriers. What does it mean to you, deployment teams? What does it mean to deployment? I'm going to tell you right now. RF designers are going to be working with multiple antenna systems, which means now they can actually design systems that have more throughput. Now, as far as distance and coverage, there's different theories. Some say you get more, some say you get less. The energy per bit is greater, so in theory, you would get more coverage. However, you're going to have so much data that the per bit is going to be way up from what it was. It isn't like you're just going to be putting 64K through it. You know, now we're looking at gig. We're going beyond megabits, 100 megabits to gig. That's the plan. Right now, you know, they'd be happy to get 10 or 20 megabits per second through it to your device. Now, I'm talking to your device. And on your device, that will need multiple antennas too. So for you deployment teams, for RF design, it's going to be a big deal. For site design and for site acquisition and even installation, the antennas are going to get heavier, maybe bigger. They're probably going to try to keep them small, but they're going to get heavier. The remote radio heads. Now, instead of having 1, 2, 3, or 4 receivers, you'll have 8, 16, 32, and transmitters all in the radio head. I would imagine they've just gotten smaller. Now they're going to get bigger again. So it's just something to think about. Now, for installation, again, heavier, more equipment. But now that you have more throughput, the HyperFlex cable is going to be bigger, right? Because the fiber can only carry so much, and you're going to have more inputs and outputs. The BBU is probably going to have to do more. It's going to be a high-tech BBU. Now, for those of you that think you haven't touched this yet, you may have. If you've done deployments for the American carriers, they're already putting in 4T4R, which is 4 transmit, 4 receive, 8T8R, which is 8 transmit, 8 receive, and they're working on 16T16R, 16 transmit, 16 receive. So now it is getting very complicated as far as installations go. So remember, as far as CapEx goes, it's going to add a lot of cost because you're going to have to add a lot more price up front to the installation. But they just paid billions for the spectrum they auctioned on, and they expect billions to be spent on the 600 megahertz auction coming up with the FCC here in the state. What's that going to mean? You want to get the biggest bang for your buck as possible. So you got to make the investment up front. I mean, they just paid a ton of money for air. Am I right? So now they're going to have to pay a ton of money for the installations. Remember, they have to pay safe contractors to do the work. They can't just hire yahoos to go out there. These people have to be qualified. And now when you're up on a tower, you have to have fiber skills. It isn't like you can just go up and mount the stuff anymore. You have to be mechanically inclined, and you have to be electrically inclined, and you also have to have fiber skills, which is part of your electrical inclination. All right, so MIMO, how do we maximize it? We basically try to get a balance between what it's going to cost to deploy the equipment and what it's going to cost to maintain the equipment and the best usage of our spectrum that we possibly can get. It's all there to improve the quality of experience to the customer. And when I say customer, I mean end user. I mean the person holding a smartphone, holding a tablet, whatever. That's the goal. Get them the max throughput they can get. Makes everybody happy. And again, like I said, the CapEx will go up because you're going to have basically all the upfront costs. But what about the services that I didn't mention? You know, not only installation, as far as the extra weight and all that, you're going to have extra test time because now you're going to have to test a lot more and with different equipment. You're going to have probably more expensive test equipment. The optimization is going to be different. You're going to have to change the way you do optimization because now you're going to have the equipment that can handle that. You're going to have the MIMO equipment out there to do the testing, the optimization. Plus, when you're working on the system, now you got to have more throughput. I'll get into that in OpEx. But CapEx is definitely going to go up. And it's not going to be free, obviously, to do all these extra changes. All those nickel and dimes add up to about hundreds or maybe a thousand, you know, thousands of dollars per site, especially on a macro site. Now, on a small cell, everything will be integrated. So they should be a lot better off with small cells. It's just something to think about. You look at OpEx, I would imagine your backhaul is going to be bigger. So that's something that's going to change. That's going to be a little more money that we're going to have to dish out. So as far as I know, the OpEx, the operational expenses, the monthly reoccurring could have more cost to it. I'm just not sure what it is. But I know with the OpEx, obviously, the equipment's going to be more. The radio heads are going to cost more. The BBU is going to cost more. Like I said, the HyperFlex cable, everything's going to add up. It might be worth it to make the spectrum more efficient. That's what I'm thinking. Because the more efficient the spectrum is, the better investment they have. And in theory, they won't have to go back and touch a site for a long time. It seems like the carriers are always touching sites now. That costs money. Every time they have to go out to a site or pay you, the deployment teams, to go out to the sites, it's going to cost them money. But for you, it's good because it's a lot more work. They're going to try to do as much remote now as they can. So everything's going to be managed remotely, which we already knew that. They're trying to do that now. So when you look at the new LTE systems, you might think it's just a digital system and maybe, you were probably thinking the complexity to the design would not be as much. However, it's going to be even more complex because you're going to have MIMO. You're trying to get as much throughput as possible. Not every carrier can throw money into these issues, so they'll want to do as much as they can up front. And part of that is MIMO. Going to LTE also, if they do an LTE all system, it gives them more than just bragging rights. I mean, obviously you hear T-Mobile about how much they have as LTE, and you hear Verizon Wireless. I mean, they have a lot of LTE deployed. I think with AT&T Wireless here, not so much with Sprint. They're playing catch up, in my opinion. It looks like they are anyway. I mean, you hear about all the markets they have released, but it's really not where the other carriers are, in my opinion. So what you're going to look at with the LTE systems, once they go complete LTE, they can start to at least plan the decommissioning of the CDMA systems, the 3G and the 2G systems, the older systems. I mean, a lot of the big carriers probably have the 2G decommissioned, but the 3G is probably still there. They want to start working a plan to get rid of that. So for all you that do commissioning deployment, you'll probably do that if the tower companies give them a break on reduction of the equipment. If not, you'll probably leave it hanging until they absolutely positively have to remove it because they don't want to spend the money before they have to. So that's a long-term goal. Complete LTE system. Have everything go 4G. Get the old systems out so they don't have to maintain them or have anything to do with them. That's what they want to do. It makes sense. Better quality of experience for the user, the customer, the end customer. Everybody's happy. One thing that I see is 5G may change all that because we already say 2020 for 5G. But from what I've seen and what I've read, the 5G is going to be an extension onto the existing LTE system. Now, I know they're going to do LTE Advanced. That's going to all be the equipment, the hardware, and maybe MIMO. I don't know. But 5G is probably going to be something beyond what they have because they just don't want to do an upgrade this soon. So I'm just saying, with 4G, they just put all that equipment out there. I'm sure they don't want to replace it all. As far as deployment teams, we would love that. It'd be a lot more work, but 5G is going to be an extension. Let's face it. Everything everybody's read, they don't want to replace it unless they have to. They're going to use ways like MIMO and software upgrades, changing the firmware, things like that to get more throughput. And I get it. Why don't we decommission the 3G equipment before we start putting up 5G? And it might be 6G, but I think the carriers are a little frustrated because they had CDMA out there. They had WCDMA. Now suddenly they have 4G. They have LTE. I think they want to get a return on investment. Makes sense to me. I mean, from a business perspective, it all makes sense. Plus, I think they're going to see more and more competition. Wi-Fi is coming into its own. I think that's one thing that LTE, as far as being a data-only system, has done is shown them that, well, you can do a lot more with Wi-Fi too. I know I always bring up the fight between Wi-Fi and LTEU, and maybe LTEU will be the game changer. I don't know, but 5G is going to be pretty cool. And you know, the interesting thing about 5G, we talk about throughput all the time, but with the Internet of Things, which I think is going to be a big 5G push to really improve the automation, I think what they're going to do is probably have low bandwidth devices. And I think you see that out there now. Start writing more on IoT if you guys are interested. But anyway, low bandwidth is things like your thermostat. You don't really need a 10 meg connection for your thermostat, right? You're going to put the temperature up. You're going to put the temperature down. It's going to tell you if it's going up or down. It's going to tell you if your furnace is running or not running, if your air conditioner is running or not running. It's going to tell you what your system's doing, what's going on in the house. To me, that's not really the big thing. The big thing is when the utilities finally put the power meters on the network, which they're doing for themselves, but it's not as big as it should be. I don't have it at my house. I would love to be able to look at my power meter and see what the reading is week by week, and I'll tell you why. Because if I have a faulty piece of equipment, I want to know about it as soon as possible. Hell, my company doesn't even read the meter every month. They read it every other month, which, you know, by the time I get a big bill, it's too late. It could be 2 months old. It's very frustrating in today's world. You understand what I'm saying? I can go in my bank, in my credit card statement, all of that. I can see real time what's going on there. But if I want to look at my meter, I have to go out and read it manually, and I have to look at those dials and figure out how to read it on my utility meter. With gas, I have to look at my gas meter and try to figure out how to read that meter. Same as with water. At least water has, you know, ticking numbers. It makes sense. It's gallons. It's straightforward, and I can read it here at my house. But wouldn't it be cool in this digital age of ours if you could read your water meter, if you could read your power meter, if you could read your gas meter online? I mean, honestly, you can pay your bill online. I can do auto pay every month. I can do all that. I can pay my utility bill, my water bill, my gas bill online. And these guys, these companies, they aren't just there yet. And I get it. It's a hell of an investment. They got to replace all that equipment or at least put an attachment on. But what are they waiting for? I'll tell you what they're waiting for. They're waiting for a grant from the government. Anyway, I know I'm getting off point, guys. But my point is here, back to what I was talking about before I got so off track. LTE MIMO, it's going to be good for deployment. I told you why. Be smart, be safe, and pay attention. See ya.